Out there for the first time. The right foot for Mohamed. He scores! Mohamed. Frank Mohamed has scored a fourth goal. And both the Mohamed brothers are dangerous tonight. And watch how he looks for a man out in front. Frank Mohamed will walk right into the spot. And he drills one for the far corner. And it just catches the post.
When Waye took a shot, the defenseman fell over, the Afghan. And the Bernoulli has it on that wing. Here's a shot. Henderson made a wild stab for it, fell. Here's another shot. Right by the door. Henderson has scored for Canada. Henderson right in front of the net. And the fans of the team are going wild. Henderson right in front of the goal. 34 seconds left in the game.
Here's what they are getting to break. Fire to high one, the rebound, backhand, they score! Cornwallier, and he sets the record! 1 second, the game is over! Canadians have won the Stanley Cup, and they're out there mobbing each other. They're all going after Dryden. There you see Bowman coming out. Canadians coming from behind in this one. The Chicago team put up a tremendous struggle.
And the goal was his 15th of the playoffs, and that set the record. So there you have the Conn Smythe Trophy winner and Stanley Cup record setter, Yvan Cornwallier.
Circumstance, are you driving a new car? Does it get you where you want?
Well, how about that? Welcome back. Hour number two. It is Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, a very special edition. We're on site at Le Windsor, back when it was a hotel 100 years ago. This is where the National Hockey League was formed. It was also the place where the Montreal Expos were born in 1968. And along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo on site, as you could probably tell by now by that introduction, a treat to meet, reacquaint, and talk to Dave Keon, Frank Mohavlich, Rod Gilbert, and Yvan Cornwallier. Welcome, gentlemen.
Pleasure.
It's nice to be
nice
here.
To be here.
All right. Rod, we you got left out on the cutting room floor there. That we were supposed to hear from your goal. But it's interesting, going back to the 72 series, that Foster Hewitt couldn't pronounce your name properly until game eight, Yvan.
Exactly.
Right?
But he tried to make a name for himself on my name. So he pronounced the Russian's name, no problem. And I got a little story of that. We were in the Bobby Orr special, and we go out after the supper, and he said, give me a cognac. And the guy said, what kind? He said, a Courvoisier. I said, how come you can say Courvoisier, you cannot say Cornwallier?
Good story.
Rod, we met in the studio. You were in with Pete Mohavlich prior to that traveling show about 72. Frank, I saw you several times in the last few years. Mm-hmm. You had your book that came out. You visited in studio, and I had a chance to talk to you during Red Story's funeral. And Yvan, we see Yvan a lot, but this is an absolute thrill to see Davey Keon, who has been almost like a persona non grata, right, in terms of the Leafs for the longest time, until finally they did the right thing and welcomed you back and honored you properly. And for a lot of us in Montreal, it's such a thrill to see you back involved with the National Hockey League and the alumni people. So
well, it's nice of you to say. Thank you.
How much did you miss us at all? around the National Hockey League?
Not really. Not really. After I left, I moved south, and hockey is not a big at that time. Hockey wasn't very big down there, so I watched a little on TV, but I was not involved too much in following it.
Yeah, that clip that we heard, that was a record that you set in '63 on your way to the Cup. There's two shorthanded goals in a Stanley Cup final game. Is there? I think 20 cups between you guys, right? I think, and Rod, the 72, you told us, right? The 72 series for you, that was your Stanley Cup.
Right.
Yvonne, is it a 72? Is that on par with winning a cup? Or?
Well, I don't know about it. Stanley Cup is that's what we dream when we're a kid. And for me, that was like the biggest honor I can have. 72 was like coming after. We didn't know what's going to happen. We thought that we were going to be easy. It turned out to be 40 years after, 45 years after, we're still talking about it. But it's nice to be winning both.
Yeah. And Dave, of course, the Leafs are in tomorrow. I would think that the chance of 67 have all but disappeared in Toronto because of the promise that is evident when you look at the Leafs right now.
Well, I think they're making steps in the right direction. They're not trying to take any shortcuts. They've got some really good young kids that they're working with, and when they don't feel they're ready to play, they send them to the minors and then bring them up, and by that time they hope they're ready. And it's baby steps for a while, and hopefully in a couple of years they'll be challenging.
I'm very nice when I see Mr. Keon coming back after so many years retirement from maybe the game. And it reminds me, I was on the ice when we lost.
In 67.
67. So that was nice to see you back.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's nice to be back.
You won the Conn Smythe Trophy that year.
I did, yes.
And you, I don't want to say you outplayed John Beliveau or anything like that, because, you know, they got you got 10 cups, right,
yeah.
Yvonne?
Yeah.
But you were the best forward in that series. Would you not concur that he was the best forward in that series? They beat you.
Well, that's why you had the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. Is that what you're most proud of individually of a brilliant career?
Yes, that's you could say that, yes. The thing I'm most proud of is that I remember the most is winning the Stanley Cup the first time. Because when you're growing up, you're always playing for, on the street or on the rink, you're playing to win the Stanley Cup. It's the last minute. You're going to score the winning goal. And when it actually does happen, it's, your wildest dreams have come through.
You know what that's like, Frank Mahovlich?
Right. Yeah, I was there in 62 with Davey. That was an exciting time. But also exciting for me was the 71 Stanley Cup here in Montreal when I was with the Canadiens. That was an exciting time because we were underdogs, most of the year. And I think there was one game there we were losing 5-1.
In Boston.
And we came back and won it 7-5 or something. It was
amazing. Your captain was pretty good that night, if I remember right.
Beliveau started the scoring. He's a great leader.
Is this true while we're there that the Bruins were kind of laughing and mucking it up on the bench when they were ahead 5-1 in game two in Boston? They had already won the opener.
I'm honest. It's been a long time, but I don't remember that. But I remember we were not very happy. And when Jean did his speech after the second period, we get up and we said one goal at a time, and we start to one at a time, and after that we didn't look back. Frank was there.
Yeah.
We got a good team, so, and Boston's got that feeling that they're not going to win against us. Like at the Forum, we scored the last minute, and they got the feeling they're going to do something wrong, and they were right.
Rod, how difficult was it? You guys, the Rangers, had a really good team, but you had the Canadiens and you had the Bruins and you had the Blackhawks, right?
Detroit at the beginning. Well, there were six teams. We were out of the playoffs by Christmas. we were fighting for the Patrick Trophy, Boston and the Rangers.
Right.
And then it was so much fun because we acquired, like, Brad Park came up, and then Giacomin, and then Vic Hadfield, and and then the team developed, like the Pete Stemkowski. We made a big trade with Toronto,
right?
5-for-2 when we gave Bathgate and McKenney to Toronto. And then we started climbing, like Yvonne says, one game at a time, you know, like 1 year at a time. But my entire career, I had the faith and the hope. And it was interesting because, okay, we're going to add one piece here, one piece there, and then, boom, we're gonna do it. And we were good enough to do it, like, for about 5 years. And there's always something at the end that occurred. And then the last chance that we had was against the Flyers. And we had definitely the most skillful and wonderful team, but we got out goon or something. Like, I don't know what the hell happened there. But I think that it was not hockey as we know it today anyway. So
yeah, so I think the Canadians of Yvonne's era kind of put an end to that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the kid that got suspended for 10 games for leaving the bench the other night, he said he wasn't aware of the rule. The rule came in because of the Flyers.
Yeah.
Right? There were bench clearing
brawls. Well, we had to win because all the team, if we lose that year, all the team was going to be like this.
Right.
And we said we have to win, and we were much prepared. We were there before the season, and that was an exhibition games, and that was a big brawl. And we knew that I was already started there before the season, then we got to finish that. And that's it. We went in four straight, and that was it.
You won in four straight, and you won four straight Stanley
that's
Cups
it.
After beating the Flyers. Yvonne Cornoy, Rod Gilbert, Frank Mahovlich, Dave Keon on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 from the Windsor. So since this is the 100th anniversary of the league, I thought I'd ask you guys before we get back to your respective brilliant careers, Hall of Fame careers, is your earliest memory, your own personal earliest memory of watching the National Hockey League?
I didn't get to see it on TV when I was growing up. We didn't have a TV. It was radio.
Right.
On
Sunday night?
Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
At 9 o'clock, you got the first period was over. Sometimes you'd get the start of the second period. Sometimes the second period would already be going. It was 9 o'clock when it came on.
Yeah. And where was this? Was this
in Naranda.
Rue in Naranda?
In Naranda.
They've got the Dave Keon Arena there, right?
They do.
Anybody else have an arena? Well, you have an arena named after you.
Olympia Yvan Cornoy in Drummondville.
Rodrigue Gilbert at Pointe aux Trembles.
Frank.
No, I don't.
Well, what are they? What's wrong with them?
They got to do the Schumacher Arena, but
you know, I did build a little pond, a little rink on a pond up there, and they could name that after me. But that's interesting. That you know, the first time I ever saw a hockey game. I used to listen to Foster Hewitt on the radio, but my dad, when I was 4 years old, took me to a hockey game, and it was a Buffalo Anchorite. It was a mine team, and would you believe it? There were three blacks on the one line for Buffalo Anchorite: Herbie and Ozzie Carnegie,
sure,
and Manny McIntyre. And that was my first game, and I thought, gee, if I ever was a hockey player, I'd be playing against the blacks, you know, and haven't seen three blacks on a line since, and it's been like 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
They were legends in senior hockey.
Senior right? hockey, they were.
And if not for the color of their skin, is it fair to say they would have been in the NHL?
Well, Herbie would have. Herbie probably would have had a chance.
Yeah, I think Herbie would have. And Bello, he played with Bello up in Quebec.
Yeah, Jean spoke very highly of him.
Yeah.
Right? And so you heard Foster Hewitt. And Dave, you grew up with Foster Hewitt also, right?
Yeah.
And if you're listening, I mean, you use your imagination in addition to the play-by-play guy. I mean, did you, when you finally got to see a game, was it like or better than what you visualized listening to it?
Oh, it was better when I saw it. But when I went into the gardens the first time, because that's where all the games were from on Saturday night, I had gone to say I was at St. Mike's, and we had training camp, and I went into the gardens, and I was looking up at the seats, and I was walking around with my mouth open for about an hour. It just I was in awe of the place.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite player?
Todd Sloan was my cousin, so naturally he was going to be my favorite player.
What about you, Frank?
First game I saw at Maple Leaf Gardens, I was in a tournament, a juvenile tournament in St. Catharines. And we had a day off, so we went to see an old-timers game. And would you believe it, Charlie Conacher was playing? And that was my first visit at Maple Leaf Gardens. And here, a few weeks ago, they had a Charlie Conacher statue with me outside of the Air Canada Center. So it's quite a coincidence.
What a moment, huh?
Yeah.
And Rod, how about Rodrigue?
In my case, growing up out east, yeah, we used to go in the hardware store on Sunday to watch the seniors. And we couldn't hear no song, but we could see Jean Béliveau taking the puck from the behind the net and go score at the other end. And then my beauty of like my dad was a blacksmith, and he Boom Boom Geoffrion's uncle used to hang out in my dad's forge, play checkers with the Oilers, about 75, 80. And I'm like 10, and I got introduced to Boom Boom because he was the rookie of the year, and he had a big slap shot. And so he became my idol. So one day, my dad says, if you get good grades, you do well in school, I'm going to, with Boom Boom's uncle, set up for you to meet him and get his autograph. I was so excited. Sunday morning, we go to church. We drive all the way to Lac Noir, you know, like about 50 miles Rawdon, whatever. And then it start pouring rain. As we get closer, I don't care. I'm going to meet my idol and get his autograph. We get to the house. There's a big padlock there on the door. He knew I was coming because his uncle, and he didn't wait. He just went back to Montreal because the weather was so inclement. I never forget that. I get back on the car, and my dad says, well, we'll set it up some other time. He says, it's okay. And I think that was my motivation to make it to the NHL so I could nail this guy. because he broke my heart. And I did in the Montreal Forum. My first game, I cross-checked Boomer. And he comes up with the stick, and he wants to whack me. Yeah. And he says, what's your problem? I never told him until he got traded to the Rangers. And now I tell him. So he says, well, stop telling that story. He says, get over it already. Get over it. You never get over that. And that's why when a kid comes to me and asks me for my autograph, you better believe I'm going to give it to him because he's going to nail me later.
You never forget that, right?
Never.
As a kid, those moments, Tim Raines tells a story and people think he's joking, and they're best friends, Tim Raines and Andre Dawson, are best friends, but when Tim Raines first approached Andre Dawson at an Expos training camp for an autograph, the Hawk refused him. Wow. He refused the autograph. And they are the best of friends, but he still digs him.
Oh, yeah.
Tim will still dig Andre with that moment all these years later. How about you, Ivan, your first...
Well, very quickly, I come from Drummondville, and those days the TV was just coming on. And I remember, not far from where I was living, they were selling... A TV. That was the store where we sell TVs. So we go there after the first period and watch in black and white, like 10 minutes, because I was maybe 10, 11 years old. And that was the first time I see. But my idol was Gilles Tremblay. The way he was skating. And I was playing for Montreal Canadian Junior, so I watched them practice all the time. And I told Gilles, I said, you're so beautiful. You don't make any effort to skate. The way you skate, you're skating on the air. He said, no, don't worry. He said, I make some effort. And he was my idol just because of the way he was skating.
He was a left winger. Yeah. A lot of people remember him as one of the French broadcasters for many, many years. But he was such a valuable
player. And I was fortunate to play with him on the same line with Jean Béliveau and Jill on the left wing.
Right.
He used to check me to Tremblay. Every game we played, like 14 games, I used to play against them all the time.
Yeah, did you stick it to him too?
No. But I wasn't that successful against them, believe me. He was, if the Frank Selke had been around there, he would have won it every year for sure, right? The
yeah.
most defensive player.
What? You go ahead, finish
him
your
and
thought.
Claude Provost.
Claude Provost, you're right, yeah. I want you to tell me about these guys here, to your right, Ivan, each one. Just give me a... And our younger listeners, these guys here sitting next to me, Mitch Gallo and Rod Francis, tell me about them as hockey players on the ice.
Well, I think you want to, you know, they're all older than me, and I'm pretty old. So imagine that. So I got a lot of respect, like I said, Mr. Keon, when he beat us in 67. I don't forget that, eh?
I don't forget it either.
That was not an autograph, but I don't forget it. And I always said...
Because?
I always said that gave me... some power to respect the other team and win more Stanley Cup. It's because of you I got 10 Stanley Cup. because we lost in 67. And I was so mad after that. I said, I'm never going to lose a Stanley Cup again if I go in the final. And thank you very much to beat us in 67.
Well, blame Frank,
because
too.
Frank was with us, so that was different a little bit. So in 71, we went with Frank, and we needed Frank because, you know, he was not talking too much, but he was action on the ice.
Yeah.
And Rod, well, he was my French-Canadian golf player in the summer. We played golf a lot together.
Team Canada.
Team Canada in 72. So for me, hey, if you want an example from the three guys, no problem.
Rod, how about the three of them on the ice?
Well, I started playing against Davey. Like, I was playing in Guelph, like my junior year, and we used to have a big rivalry with Dave at St. Mike's, and then the close games. And some of the players on St. Mike's, McMasters, you know, like the players that play with you. It was like a wonderful experience. And Frank, I didn't get to to play against Frank a whole lot because we were opposite, you know, like and we didn't play that much against each other. But I have a story about Ivan. Like, when I played for New York, we had a new coach called Larry Popeen. And he tells the story. Like, I mean, he comes into the locker room. It's maybe the fifth game, sixth game, first game against the Canadiens. He says, I know how to beat those guys, you know, the Canadian. He says, you know, you go out there. That was his strategy. You go out there and hit those two little frogs, like Cournoyer and Laflore, something like that. So he says, they don't like to get hit. So we go out there. He scores two. Lafleur's got one. So we come back. He's kicking the bucket. Says, didn't I tell you, like, these two guys don't like to get hit? And Pete Stemkowski said, hey, coach, let me ask you a question. Who does? That was what I remember. He made this guy get fired, Larry Popeen.
Good.
Yeah, I was happy about that.
Yeah, no, and Jean Rattel was too, I'm sure.
Yeah, he couldn't coach.
And Frank, what do you remember specifically about playing against these guys on the ice?
Well, when I can remember Davey came to us in 61. And we started to win hockey games, you know, and it looked like a championship team. He filled in a huge void that we had. He could control the puck the length of the ice. He'd carry it all the way down the ice and gave us a lot of confidence, and the team just took off, and we started to be very competitive. We reached the Stanley Cup Finals. We won it 3 years in a row. I think the first 4 years he was there, we won it three times. And, of course, Rod Gilbert, he dominated the Rangers. Like, he was the key guy that we focused on when we played. And, of course, Ivan. I played with Ivan and had such great success here in Montreal. He was a dominant figure also in scoring all those goals. I think the 3 years that I played here, he scored 40 goals every year.
Yeah, and as we heard, you know, the record in the playoffs at the time. And yeah. That 71 team, I think, you know, a couple of you had so many great players, but the Bruins were unbelievable offensively, and then Dryden shows up. But before Dryden showed up, Sam Pollock went out and got Frank Mahovlich, mm-hmm. right? It's fair to say that maybe you guys don't win out the cup that year without Frank.
That was a big help. Not a big help. And, you know, win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the best hockey of your life?
Yes, it was. It was.
He set the record for points. He has the record for points by a Canadian in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, yeah.
How do you know this?
Somebody told me.
Yeah. All right. And Davey, I want a scouting report of what it was like to play against these guys.
Well, Ivan, you know, when he came, when we played them, we had to have somebody on him all the time. Because he was, J.C. Tremblay used to give him those long passes where he was going 1,000 miles an hour, and we had to have, and we didn't have anybody to do it, but we had to try, because when he got those, there was going to be a good shot on net and probably a goal. And Rod came a year later than me to the Rangers, and when he came, it was the start of a changing of the guard, and Jean Rattel came after him, and they started to bring in young guys, and they were trying to change the atmosphere with the Rangers, and they were successful. unfortunately couldn't take the final step, but they got knocking on the door. And Frank went. I knew him when he went to the Leafs, and he was kind of the start of the resurgence of the Leafs, much in the same that Austin Matthews is now.
Right.
Frank started that, and Frank was your second year you made the playoffs in the last game of the year, didn't it?
Yeah.
59. They made the playoffs the last game of the season, and then they went to the finals and lost in the finals, and the next year they lost in the finals.
Yeah, we lost in the finals
to Montreal the last 2 years, and then we won in 62.
So were you guys, it's safe to say where you guys grew up, that your favorite team growing up was the Leafs?
Mine was.
Well, when I started, the Leafs were, but when somebody gave me a Detroit Red Wing sweater, I changed my allegiance.
Yeah. Well, and you and Punch Imlach were not on the same wavelength, right? No. It's fair to say.
That was one of the tragedies. That was one of the tragedies that happened to us. And Frank getting traded to Detroit was that was a tragedy. It was kind of a start of the downhill slide that was very, you know, long, slow downhill slide. And right. That was kind of the start of it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking these three guys played on the 72 Team Canada. You're at the you're a very productive NHL player at the time. Now, not to second guess or anything, because they won the series, but why weren't you on the 72 team?
Wasn't good enough.
You weren't good enough.
I don't think so.
Can you?
I would like to play with him in 72.
I would disagree with that, because I think that we were so favorite that they just picked 35 guys, and I don't know who picked the teams, but there were too many guys, and then not enough of the right. You know, we had problems.
Because, I don't have numbers in front of me, but I grew up at the time, so I memorized a lot of this stuff, because that following that 72 series, you guys were, that was one of the best seasons of your career. A lot of guys had great years that year, and so did you in 72-73. You had a great year that year.
I think so.
Yeah. But is there something you don't want to say, or you were a victim of the numbers game?
Well, I would have liked to have been able to go to training camp to try and make the team, but that was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Who picked the team?
I guess it was Harry Sinden and John Ferguson. Harry Sinden, Alan Eagleson.
You know, Stan Mikita was there.
Yeah.
Why not Dave Keon?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Bobby Clark is very thankful you weren't there. Right, he ended up playing with your guys, right, Ellis and Henderson.
Well, I played with Ronnie, but Paul usually played with Norm Ullman.
Right, right. So all these years, you're in Florida. You're not paying much attention to hockey. People are bugging you, and whether it's through your son or through, you know, direct contact, it's Davey. You got to come back. The fans miss you. The league misses you. The city misses you. What was it specifically that you wanted?
I didn't really want anything.
So then what broke the ice then?
Brendan Shanahan called me and said they would like to put me on Legends Row, and asked me if I'd like to have that done, and I said yes, I would. And so I came back for that, and then there were some other things happened after that. Actually, the last year and a half, a lot of things have happened. Nice things that
it's been great.
Yeah, it's been great.
Any second thoughts about, you know, waiting a little too long, or it worked out? Everything's worked out.
Well, it seems to have worked out.
And you're enjoying being around your contemporaries, right? Again,
yeah.
Yeah. You enjoy representing the National Hockey League and the Leafs.
I do, and the Leafs. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. There was a time people don't remember where Rocket was not even at the Forum, right? Rocket Richard for a long time did not go back to the Forum.
Yeah, I think he was. Something happened. I don't know. I was not there, but something happened and. He left for a while and came back, and he left and he went to Quebec City for one game as a coach.
Yeah,
I think he liked to coach, so after one game that was enough. But those things happen.
What do you like? Rod's our political expert here. Did you guys ever think that Frank Mihaljevic would one day wind up in the Canadian Senate?
Why not? That's what I thought. You know, when he was nominated and somebody called me from the Toronto Star and I said, Frank Mihaljevic is going into the Senate. And I said, well, why not?
Good
you
for
know,
you.
You know, look at Jacques Demers.
Yep. Right.
Too. He did.
He cared very much about the country. He cared very much about doing a good job, and he did.
I think Jean Béliveau was asked many times to go to Ottawa, but he was too busy in Montreal.
To be the governor general. They wanted him to be governor
exactly,
general.
Exactly, but he said, why go there? I'm so busy here, and I like Montreal, so why go to Ottawa? So I wanted to stay in Montreal. Mm-hmm.
Rod, you must have a question for Frank before we
Actually, it's based on something Yvon said earlier about how the first loss, your first Stanley Cup loss, kind of drove you the rest of the way to win all the other ones. And there's this adage in sports that a team has to lose before they can win. And I'm just wondering if you guys buy that, if you think it's meaningful in any way.
Well, we tried to say that to Rod. We got to lose. But they keep losing.
Only 18
So they never win.
there's the Habs arrogance for you. Hey, Rod?
Well, they do have some of that.
No, these young guys have
but we're polite. We respect people.
No respect.
Respect the team.
but like at playoff time, does a team have to kind of go through the grind to know what it takes to take the next step?
If you're lucky, you don't have to go through the grind, but most teams do have to. I mean, I didn't go through the two losses that the Leafs did, Frank did, to the Canadians, and then the next year we probably had a better team and we lost in the semifinals to Detroit. And then the next year we played and we won the first time.
Was that 62, Dave?
Yeah, that was 62. That was your first year.
My first playoff.
Yes.
And I had gotten hurt, like my back and stuff, and I missed the season, and then they brought me back at the end in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they had lost, the Rangers had lost the first two games in Toronto, and the third game in New York, the first time I go on the ice. They've been waiting for me there in New York. And then I scored a goal against Johnny Bowers. And to this day, and then I got another one at the end of the period. So, and we won the third game, we won the fourth game. Then we went back to Toronto, and Red Kelly scored.
In overtime.
We almost like upset the Leafs that year. Mm-hmm. And the fact that when I see Johnny, like last month, I said, Johnny, Mr. Bauer, thank you for letting me score my first goal against you. He says, I let all the rookies score the first goal. He said, don't feel so. I says, did you let me score the second one too? He said, no, not that one.
What was your first goal?
My first goal was in Detroit. I was 19 years old. And we played against, I was not playing against Detroit. I was playing against Gordie Howe, Alex Del Vecchio, all the great guys. So for me, that was against them, not Detroit. So that was a lot of people hurt. So he said, they called me on Saturday night. They lost, and they were going to Detroit. They said, you coming tomorrow at Detroit with Jill Trombley, who was hurt. He was making a comeback. So we take the train with Jill and I, and we arrived there, and Henry Richard was in front of the hotel when we arrived. And I said, Henry, I'm coming to help you. He looked at me and said, I'm not sure about that. So we win that game. I was playing with Bobby Rousseau in the center, Gilles left wing, right wing. We win that game 7-3, and I always tell that I got the winning goal. I scored the seventh one.
And Frank, your first goal?
My first goal? Do you want to hear about my first game?
Yes.
It's interesting. It was against the...
just a little closer. Yeah.
It was against the Montreal Canadiens, and Howie Meeker was the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I had a three-game trial because we got beat out at St. Mike's. I think Guelph beat us out with Eddie Shack.
Yeah.
But anyways, Howie Meeker says, okay, Frank, you're going to be playing your first game. You're going to check the rocket. And Rocket Richard, all the stories you heard about the riots and how violent he was and everything else. And he says, don't let him get away. Howie Meeker, don't let the rocket get away. So the game starts. I find myself on the ice, on the red line, and the who's beside right beside me on the red line is Rocket Richard, and he gets the puck from Doug Harvey, passes it up to the Rocket, and Rocket's got the puck, and he's ready to take off. And I panic, and I put both arms around him, and I hold him there. And he shakes trying to get loose, and he can't. And he turns his head around, and his nose is pointing right to my nose, and his eyes are popping out of his head. He says, "Let go, kid." I said, "Yes, Mr. Richard." And he didn't score. I think Belleville got the winning goal. They beat us 1-0. But that was my first game, my experience with Maurice Richard in the first
game. Well, it all got easier after that.
Now, my first goal was against Detroit in the third game. I got the goal, and Glenn Hall was the goalie. And that year, he gets traded to Chicago. He goes to Chicago, and on December the 1st, 1957, I score my first hat trick, and he's the goalie in Chicago against Glenn Hall. So when he's being inducted to the Hall of Fame, I introduced him to my son, Ted, and I told him, I says, "You know, Glenn, I got my first goal against you." And later on, he says, "The next year, I got my first hat trick against you." And he looked at me, and I didn't know this, but he had a list. He said, "You bastard."
You bastard.
Your first goal.
My first goal was against Detroit, too. We had opened against Montreal. I had played two shifts. We played the Rangers at home on Saturday, and I played two shifts, and I was not very happy. And we went to Detroit, and there was a fight that went on for 20 minutes. And we were going to be 3-on-3 for at least the next 10 minutes. So I went down and sat behind the door so I could open the door for everybody. And he came down and he said, "You get out there." So I went out. There was a face-off. I won the face-off back. Horton slapped it. I tipped it. It went in. That tied the score. And Sawchuk was in goal then, too. Was Sawchuk in goal when you scored?
No, that was
Basson?
Hank Basson?
I think so.
Wow, these names are unbelievable. We're finishing up with Dave Keon, Frank Mahovlich, Roger Blair, and Yvon Cornwhite. Just a couple more things because you've given us so much of your time. You were all such brilliant forwards. You're in the Hall of Fame. So the toughest defensemen and goalies, I think the goalie's name may have been mentioned, but the toughest defensemen and goaltenders that you faced in your career.
Well, Glenn Hall as a goalie. I think probably Terry Harper, because he was just such a nag. He was always chopping and hacking, and he
was relentless.
Relentless, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
He could really ice the puck too.
Yeah.
He was a master of icing the puck. Frank,
slow down.
Defenseman and goalie, toughest for you.
The fellow that gave me a lot of trouble was Bill Gadsby. And I saw him check Tim Horton one night at Maple Leaf Gardens. I was playing junior A at the time. It was before I joined. And you could hear the crack. He broke Tim's jaw and a spiral break in his leg. And he was out for a year. He hit him so hard. And he tried to do the same to me. But I caught him with the corner of my eye. I ducked, and his stick hit me on the shoulder and gave me a mark. And as he was going down on the ice, I started to slug him. And there's a photo of me slugging him as he's going down. It doesn't look very good. And a lot of people from New York sent me the photo from the newspaper. And when I went to visit, Bill was coaching Detroit when I was over there, I went to visit, and he had a huge picture of that right in his office. But he gave me the...
It's a badge of honor. Yeah. How about a goalie?
The goalie, Terry Sawchuk, I think, was the toughest goalie that I don't remember scoring a hat trick against him.
Oh, you just... One goal was not enough. Then.
No. Well, I did score a goal against him, and I scored one a third period overtime in Detroit one night in the playoffs. Kelly shot the puck from the blue line, and I skated in front and tipped it, and we won that game, and we beat them in the playoffs that year to go against Montreal. I think that was 1959.
Yeah. And you lost.
And we lost against Montreal, yeah.
In my case, Tim Horton, I'm just like a young player, and he introduced me to the board a couple of times. And you know, like you had your pants, and you had like a fiber in the back there. So he used to take me to the board in his right hand. Like he would put this stick underneath that fiber thing and lift me up so my feet weren't touching the ice. And then he just banged me right into the board and knocked me out a couple of times. And I enjoyed playing against him because he was so clean. You know, when he did hit you, it wasn't like some of the other people that I can tell you that you don't know always, he blindsided you or something. But Timmy Orton was like the hardest check that I ever put me out. And he was also my teammates later on. And I understood why he was that strong. Yeah. Because, you know, he was just a fabulous player. And as far as the goaltending, I had equal success or non-success against the majority of them. I played against Terry Sawchuk, Glenn Hall. And then what happened is, like, in the year where it was most important for us to finally break through and shed the losing atmosphere, we played against Bernie Parent. And I think that he made the difference in the
Flyers.
Yeah, the Flyers.
Yeah, Flyers won.
But the Flyers weren't that great of a team as far as, like, skill like we had. Like, with we had a complete team, and I don't think they did. But Bernie Parent substituted for that. You know, he was like, I would say the best. Give me the hardest time anyway.
Right.
I think for me, Johnny Bauer stopped me for a penalty shot when I was just a rookie. And I think it took about 10 minutes to clear the ice because something happened. And anyway, he stopped me, and I look at him. And every time I score against him, I turn around and I said, "Now I got you." And the defenseman, I don't think I have one in particular. I remember Moose Vasco, my first 7-game against Chicago. I passed beside him so quick that he still have a cold from the wind. So I don't remember one really defense who I play against and he gave me a lot of hard time.
Is there anybody that has played, and I know you didn't watch for a long time, but is there anybody after you, Davey, and the rest of you who played that kind of reminded you of when you played? Or is there one active? Is there a player active? You see a little of yourself in them, perhaps?
Oh, it's pretty hard because it's a different moment. I mean, the training today is so different, the equipment, the skate, but it's very hard to compare yourself to one of the guys, or I don't know, up on me anyway.
Yeah,
I patterned myself after Boom Geoffrion when they came up, but now I'm looking at the goals that I used to score, like from the top of the circle and with my slap shot. This is not happening today, but my reflection on Davey and Ivan, like if they played today without the red line, the two-line passes, that would be ugly.
Well, you see Paul Byron get a breakaway almost every night. You'd have three or four.
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Last night, Montreal's got three breakaway against them. They have a power play.
Yeah.
But they got three.
The same guy had two
Derek
of them.
Stepan
I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, what's going on here? What's the game I'm watching?
Is there anybody that comes to mind in that regard? Or okay, how about today's game? Do you enjoy watching it? Do you like the way it is? Do you like it without the red line or what?
Well, I'd prefer that the red line was in. That's my preference.
Because?
You have to be a little more creative, and you have to be able to handle the puck a little bit.
That's what Rod was talking about. You don't see guys, right?
Now they make a pass from blue line to the far blue line and is usually chipped in. With the red line in, you'd have to beat somebody in center ice, in the center ice area.
Yeah.
I've always thought that if you play in the National Hockey League, at least you should be able to beat one person one-on-one at some point in the game.
Yeah, the puck is doing all the work. Players aren't doing the work now. They skate all the way down. We used to have to stop. You know, if you're offside, yeah, you couldn't go. You had to stop. So it was a lot harder. It was more difficult. You know, there was a reason why the red line was there. With founding fathers, they found out That's why they put it in. So the game slows down.
It's too fast now.
It's too fast now, man.
Your best friend in hockey?
My best friend in hockey? David Keon.
Mutual?
Yes.
Red Kelly. They're all a good. They're all great
He
guys.
Was my, when I went to St. Michael's, I came from Noranda. I got off the train, and this guy walked by me, and I said to myself, that's Frank Mahovlich. Because I knew about him. Up north, we knew who he was, and he was playing junior. So we went to St. Michael's. I took a cab up. He left. He took the streetcar, subway in the streetcar, and I went into the school. And I was standing there not knowing really quite what to do. A bell went off, and they were changing classes. And all of a sudden, the hallways were just full of guys moving. And after they were gone, the guy that I had seen at Union Station, he came in. So I pretty much knew it was him. So I followed him into the office, and he said, I have to see Father Crowley. And they said, Father Crowley's, and I said, I do too. And Father Crowley's in room 112, and Frank said, come with me. So we went down, and there was a knock on the door, and Father Crowley came out, and he looked at Frank. He said, Frank, do you ever look good? And Frank said, this is Dave Keon. He said, you're late. So that was my introduction to Frank, and he...
And all these years later.
He helped me through my first year at St. Mike's. He was a great guide.
Oh, it's great to see you guys sitting here together very quickly, Yvonne, Rod.
Well, I think me, it's everybody for the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, when you play for the same team all your career and you win so much, you know, and I made good friends in 1972 when we hit it so much, the guys who we're going to play, we play against all year. And now we had a chance to play together. And the winning makes you stick together. The memory we had in 72 at Phil Esposito and all those guys, and I hate it when I play against the regular season. Really happy to see them again. Every time we see each other, we come close, and the guys from the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, you know, how can you forget all those guys?
We're still milking that. Right, Yvonne? We're still milking that Team Canada stuff after 40-some years. But, Yvonne, I recall, like, in the summer, we used to have a summer league and play at La Prairie, you know, like, on Monday nights. And Yvonne became, we played against each other, but now we'd be Monday night, and we'd have fun and stuff. And so I was living, when I came to Montreal in off-season, I was living with this guy, Jean Cloutier. And when I left, Yvonne moved into my room in Côte d'Anneige there. And then my friend says, they told Yvonne you couldn't stay here because you could not have a roommate or something. Remember? Who told you that you could not, you had to move out of?
Myself.
Okay.
Myself.
Yeah. See, he's finally telling you the story that you never told Boom Boom Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so who was your best friend in hockey?
Well, Jean Ratel, professionally, when we were 10 years old, we started playing together. And right. We grew up, went to Guelph together. We went to the Rangers for 15 years.
He's finally being honored, right?
And I've been trying to do that for a long time. Like I stayed at Madison Square Garden, and he sort of rejected the idea because he worked for the Bruins for 21 years after he finished playing as a scout. So... He felt funny to come back to New York and say, well, I'm being honored. But now I think he's got 7 grandchildren, and his daughters, 3 daughters, probably put the pressure on him, says, hey, Dad, Grandpa, come on, get honored, okay? It's a big deal. So we're happy about that in New York. Yeah.
Rod Gilbert, Yvonne Cornway, Frank Mahovlich, Dave Keon, what a treat. Absolute delight to be able to. Thank you for the hour, for giving us an hour here, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you
so
much.
Nice to be here.
Thanks
very
much, you guys.